Good morning. This is Fred T. with the BelowTopSecret.com podcast. Well, what I wanted to talk about a little bit today was some street racing, actually. You know, most people, they hear male nurse, and there's quite a few preconceived notions. However, you know, I actually was quite a gearhead back in high school. I actually was an assistant auto shop teacher for 3 or 4 years. Sequoia High School in Redwood City at the auto shop there. I had a variety of very cool cars throughout high school. My parents were solidly middle class. However, they felt that a car was a luxury and it was something that we had to procure on our own. So, consequently, my first car was a 1950 Mercury with a 3-3 on the column shifter and the old flathead motor, suicide doors. It was actually in surprisingly good shape. Then the second car I acquired when I was about 17 and a half was a 1964 GTO. Just simply the funnest car I'd ever had. 4-speed tri-power, posi traction. It had the vacuum linkage instead of the mechanical for the tri-power, which was a little bit slower, but a lot smoother when those outer carburetors kicked in. The car got it off the original owner. The car was predictably in pretty bad shape. However, the engine was just ferocious, and it had what they called an M22 rock crusher transmission rather than the M21. M22 basically, really, you don't get much more solid of a transmission with that, and the way the gears were cut allowed for power shifting. Those of you don't know what power shifting are, I do not recommend you try it with your Toyota or your little souped-up Honda or anything like that. Essentially, you ram through the gears without the use of the clutch, and your timing has to be superb. Otherwise, you will basically fry or grenade your transmission, depending on what kind of terminology you want to use. So we had quite a lot of fun with it. I mean, the thing had a trailer hitch on it, and I used to put a car seat in back. And you know, in our day, the cruises didn't quite have the gang connotation that they have now. We used to go up San Mateo and cruise, and that's where you would pick up races. We usually raced for $20, $30. Doesn't sound like a lot now. But when you're 18 and you're making $4 an hour, it's actually quite a bit of money. Anyway, we would find whoever we were going to race. We wouldn't race that night because it was predictably a bust. There was only a few places that we raced. The cops, of course, knew that. So usually we would make arrangements for the races to go down on like a Tuesday or Wednesday. Now, the place we would race is a place called Kenyatta Road. This is in San Mateo County in the San Francisco Bay Area. Now, many of you have actually seen a very small portion of this. If you've ever watched the primetime soap opera Dynasty and the opening sequence where they show the mansion, the outer gardens and everything, that's the Thalovi Estate that sits on Crystal Spring Reservoir, and the road goes right by it. In fact, it was the guard at this estate, which is a museum, that would call the cops when we started racing. Anyway, we would go up there and race, and so, of course, then at that point, the car rode on M&H Race Masters, which basically were street-legal slicks, and how they were street-legal was that they carved two grooves on the sides. Nothing you really wanted. If there was any hint of water or anything on the ground. And of course I had valves in the exhaust. I could just essentially uncork the exhaust. And so, you know, we would race. And I'm about 50-50. At the time also that this was going on, Baylands Raceway Park across the road was in existence. Across the bay, I should say. And at one point, it was Don Garlitz had set the world's fastest quarter mile there. And so they would have Wednesday and Saturday night grudge racing. And you'd basically show up and you ran. The first part of the evening was you just made runs. And the second part of the evening was bracket racing. And for those of you unfamiliar with bracket racing, if you've ever seen cars with the shoe polish and the quarter-mile times and the stuff dialed on, that's what bracket racing is. Basically, you tell the tower how fast you think you're going to run or how consistently you think you're going to run, and they dial you in. So you may be racing against Grandma in her station wagon, and she may be, you may be capable of a 15, 12-second quarter mile, whatever. She may be capable of a 25-second quarter mile. They will actually send her X number of seconds before, based on what your dial-ins are. And it's whoever gets to the finish line first. However, if you run faster than your dial-in, you lose. So it wasn't so much who had the fastest car, it's who could had the consistent reaction time. And it was usually somebody in a station wagon that would always win. So we would get up there, and of course, you know, you strip the car out, no back seat, no nothing. And we would get up to Baylands, and we would race. It just was a very fun time. The fastest quarter mile I got was about a 12.4 at 110 miles an hour. If any of you have been in any 60s muscle cars, particularly ones that have not been restored, anything over 80, 90 miles an hour becomes very hairy. The handling of those cars is just downright scary. Plus, the car was set up to drag race, so I have big tires in back. I have what were called 90-10 shocks up front. So 10% resistance in the shock was when the front end shifted up, 90% was on the way down. So once the front end got up, it was very reluctant to get back down. And it also helped with weight transfer. And then stopping was another issue. Now the car looked like a total roach, a total beater. But mechanically, it was very sound because, you know, I worked at an auto shop. You know, I taught it. So, you know, half the time kids were working on the car. So, I mean, everything was done up very well, except, you know, you're dealing with drum brakes all the way around. So, you know, you put your foot down at about 100 miles an hour and, you know, you've pretty much faded the brakes out by the time you get out of around the turnout, and you're downshifting to get the car stopped in time. So anyway, we would do our thing, you know. I never won the bracket racing because it's just impossible to launch that car with any sort of consistency at all. Anyway, we would, more often than not, I like to joke that it was because of us. I don't think it was, but what we would do is we would bounce out of the bracket racing really early. And then we would just get hammered in the parking lot. And it in no shape to drive. So what we would do is we would push the car about a mile down the road. And then we would get underneath and we would disable the car. Usually it was, we'd take the rotor out of the distributor or something. Nothing easy to fix. And then we would call AAA and have them tow us 10 miles across the bay over the Dumbarton Bridge back home and just leave us out in front of the house. That way we didn't risk driving drunk. We didn't have to leave our car anywhere. Didn't have to make that odd phone call to your parents at you know, 4:30 in the morning. Hey, can you come pick me up? Anyway, that was kind of our racing. So, you know, grenaded the motor at one point. Just totally destroyed it. And basically had this inoperable car, and it sat there for a long time. Didn't really have a reliable means of transportation. I was in nursing school at that point. Got out of school, no work. Ended up moving to a Central Valley, rather large town called Fresno in California. The children's hospital there was hiring. Hadn't really wanted to work pediatrics, but, you know, it worked out rather well for me. So ended up trading to my closest friend in high school, traded the GTO for his 84 Mustang SVO, which in itself, you know, for a 1984 car, the SVO Mustangs were actually pretty cool. Had a turbo 4, you know, had 15-inch wheels, which was a big deal at that time. It looked good. He had put a roll bar in. And he also worked at a body shop. He had been kind of helping me try to restore the GTO. Any of you who've ever restored cars, it's like a bottomless pit. And, you know, making minimum wage just doesn't work. So, reluctantly, somewhat, I traded the car. This would be about 1995 now at this point. Anyway, Dave and I have remained close. He was the best man at my wedding. You know, I see him almost every other day. And one of Dave's biggest advantages, other than being one of the greatest guys on the planet, is that he is the head painter at a body shop in the area. And he's really, truly a craftsman at what he does. You know, he did custom motorcycle painting for a while and stuff like that. So Dave has slowly been restoring the GTO. And he's finished. He ended up having to put a 421 cubic inch engine in there. So those of you that are into liters, that's almost a 7-liter engine. It's pretty darn big. The engine is fully rollerized. So, you know, if you don't know what that means, I probably don't have the 20 minutes it'll take to explain that. The camshafts rather aggressive, but the car still sounds stock. Totally redid the interior. Of course, the bodywork, it was black with a white interior, and that's the original. It is an original tri-power. There's not very many of them made, and we can, well, Dave can, it's his car now. He can prove that it was built, because in one, first time we took the back seat out to go racing, we found the build sheet tucked in the, underneath, and that's the holy grail, because it basically proves that you know, everything on this car is original. He did make some modifications to it. There's graphite bushings in the suspension with really good shocks. He also put some front disc brakes on it, and at some point you have to make sacrifices for safety versus originality. Anyway, we took the car out, and oh my God, it's incredible. I cannot tell you how much power this thing has. It literally, power shifting all the way through fourth gear, you know, you can break the tires loose in fourth gear on the freeway, cruising at 70, 80 miles an hour if you put the hammer down and the outer carbs kick in. It is just unreal. Gas mileage, you would probably do better with a big Hummer than you would with this thing. But otherwise, I just thought I would talk a little bit about Dave's GTO. I would post some pictures up of it, but the files are a little bit big, and I've got to figure out how to do that, because we just picked up a new 7-megapixel camera, so these image sizes are pretty darn big. Anyway, so if any of you have out there had a GTO or you knew someone with them, you know, they're just such incredible cars. The GTO is the car that started the muscle car craze, I just can't tell you. The smile on my face is just hasn't stopped since we got back. So anyway, this is Fred T. signing off.